The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Kendry Miller off that stack in motion to the left. Play action back to the Rattler.
Yes.
Shovels it forward. I don't know what that was. A fumble or a pass. Rattler was hit. The ball came loose. They're saying it's a fumble. Recovered by Green Bay.
Great question. What was that? Packers Radio Network, thank you for the call. Poor Spencer Rattler. I mean, how do you even evaluate this guy with no team around him? And to be fair, the Saints did force a three and out right after that fumble, but it was 21-0 at halftime. The final score, 34-0. The Saints wanted no part of that game. Meanwhile, the Packers clinch a playoff spot, which we basically knew. They can't win the NFC North, but they could get as high as second in the NFC North. But a couple things would have to break their way. Maggie Gray, Andrew Bogish is in for Andrew Perloff on this Christmas Eve. Hope you're having a great one. We can talk about this from the Packers side of things, and the future looks really, the present and the future, Bogues, looks super bright for the Packers. But if we could just pause on the loser from last night, the Saints.
I'm more accustomed to that as a Giants fan, so please take me there.
This might be the worst situation in the NFL. You have money tied up into Derek Carr, which nobody on this planet thinks that Derek Carr is leading anybody to a Super Bowl. It'd be feels like a miracle that he would even lead a team to the playoffs. You have a clear need for new leadership. You already fired the coach, so we know a new coach. But, I mean, could this team not use a new GM also? You have an ownership situation that is not ideal.
Mickey Loomis is still in charge, right? I mean, that's...
It's been two decades. And you have a very winnable division every year, but you're not even close. I guess last year you were within a little bit of an eyelash, but the team's getting old. You're in salary cap just strapped. You have no identity. I mean, I don't know if there's a worse situation right now than the Saints. And on top of it, you're hosting the Super Bowl this year. You couldn't be further away. I would probably nominate the Saints, and not probably. I would nominate the Saints for the worst situation in the NFL.
I hadn't thought about it until you mentioned this. And the thing that is confirmation of their worst status is there is nothing positive about this situation, unless you want to eat gumbo and po' boys and live in New Orleans.
Well, that'd be awesome.
But other, like, there is not even goofy Tom Brady as a partial owner sitting in the box. There's nothing. There's not, you know, there's some history of that franchise, but not really. There's not a high draft pick. They have one of the worst cap situations, if not the worst, for next season. I mean, they have just kept pushing the ball down the hill into next year's. At some point, there has to be a reckoning when it comes to money. I don't know if it's this winter or not. But yeah, I mean, what is the draw? What is the silver lining, the one tiny thing to get you there? There's nothing.
Well, so obviously living in a cool city like New Orleans, that would be a draw. But I don't think that the Saints, because of the situation they're in with their team, I don't think they're getting the cream of the crop top pick coach this offseason. Like, are you getting Mike Vrabel? Did you even reach out to Belichick? Probably
not. They knew better.
What's that?
They knew better.
Well, I mean, listen, they'd be lucky to get Belichick at this point. At least it would give you a face of the team.
Steve or Bill?
Would you take Steve? They might be so desperate. They might.
Is there another Belichick son somewhere?
Can we get a daughter? Anybody. Sheesh. The other part, though, is you would think that this is, again, the winnable division in the NFC South. So you think you always have a chance.
Maybe that's it.
But you know what? I'm watching Michael Penix, and he's not playing terribly in his debut against your awful New York Giants, folks. But still, looks like it's pretty good coming out of the ball. Looks pretty good coming out of his hands. Looks
ball
like
placement. Maybe, hey, Moose.
Maybe Bryce Young is not the total bust that we may have thought before. I can't imagine how you would have any hope as a fan of this franchise. You're picking 10th. Where does that leave you? Are you going to be in the mix for a Sam Darnold? No, because you got Derek Carr and you still got him wrapped up for another. You can give me your New York Giants. Give me the Raiders who blew it or, in position to draft a quarterback and stupidly won that game against the Jags on Sunday. So now they're not picking till 6th. You want to give me the Cleveland Browns. I mean, who else? Jacksonville, Tennessee. I can squint the Jets even. I can squint and see something better than the Saints right now.
I mean, there's too many names on that list, first of all, for the overall health of the league, I guess. But yeah, it's just at least almost everything that you've mentioned, I can give you something, some kind of... like the Jets, on paper, I still think are a good football team. They're not as good as I thought they were, but they're still a good football team in there. And at this point, I'd almost run it back with Rodgers and Adams next year. The Giants, at least, they're going to have the number one pick unless they pull the all-time Giant mistake and somehow...
They're not going to.
They're not, but maybe they will. So they're going to they got the number one pick, and it's the Giants. Like, that still is a draw in and of itself. It's the Giants. The Jaguars do have Trevor Lawrence for all of the limitations on his game, his health issues right now. He has not met the insane expectations coming out of college, but he's still... You've paid him... And I'd rather have him for the next 5 years than Derek Carr for the next two. The Titans, I guess, come a little closer to the Saints than they would like to for their own comfort. But, you know, at least they know that they have their head coach there. He's got a chance maybe to bring Sam Darnold in or somebody else veteran-wise. The Saints, what's the reason to be optimistic? If you're a Saints fan, if you're an Aints fan, like what gets you out of bed in the morning and loosens up your neck, unlike Manny, to make you feel anything good about your team?
I know Manny playing hurt today. Can't even turn his head.
Like, Chris Olave can't stay healthy. Alvin Kamara is a tremendous football player. He's a great bounce back year this year, but he's hurt again now too. Cam Jordan is on is at the wrong end of his career. I mean, there's nothing.
It's just, I think it's the worst situation. And last night in a primetime game on Monday Night Football, the team got shut out, got completely embarrassed. And to be honest, nobody was expecting anything more. Did anyone think this was going to be a competitive game?
Absolutely not.
It closed at what, a 14-point game? I mean, so we thought it was going to be a little competitive-ish, not 34-0.
I don't know. I mean, 14 points is almost as big as a spread as you'll get in the NFL. I mean, it's still professionals, but it didn't really feel like it last night. And again, most of the team wasn't playing. I think it's the worst situation. EJ, can we put the poll up? Worst situation in the NFL. Saints, Raiders. Who else would you like to throw in there? Your Jets?
Definitely. I don't want to put both New York teams, but it almost feels like they definitely warrant it.
Yeah, you could. That's fine.
You could leave the Giants out, I think, just on the strength of the number one pick.
All right, then you want to do, because my pick is still the Panthers.
Really?
Yeah, still the worst. Even though I love Bryce, I mean, praising Bryce Young's improvement, because I think that is something to be at least interested in.
Yeah.
You still got David Tepper there. It's still such a bad team in terms of just like the overall talent pool. It's a complete rebuild still.
But they're showing more spunk right now than the Saints are with that iffy roster, and they maybe have a quarterback.
It just feels like maybe I'm in my Woody Johnson bubble. It just feels like now that I've seen how bad it could actually be with an organization, given what we've heard from Diana Russini with the Jets, we know the stuff we've heard about David Tepper. There are things we don't know that Derek Tepper is doing behind the scenes that are probably 10 times worse. So to me, it's like, all right, if I'm taking at face value what I've seen and multiplying that by 5, that must be an impossible situation. The fact that Canales has him playing even respectable football, maybe he should be up for coach of the year or something.
Yeah, I mean, the fact that we have seen this owner throw a drink on somebody, like that happened in their own stadium, is that worse than an owner putting the kibosh on a trade because of the Madden rating?
He was also running around the city taking down signs about sell the team or whatever. Or, like, That guy is a maniac.
Yeah, he's a wild card.
Was it just this summer when they were trying to tell us how cool it was they were having concerts at their stadium?
Yes.
Not good football teams.
No, they increased the amount of dates they had for the stadium. And that's what made showed the organization was going in the right direction.
Yeah, but in the meantime, I feel like I also remember a headline about them building some kind of practice facility and then the deal fell through or some issue with the real estate.
He walked away from it.
Yeah.
I mean, you're right. All right, put the Panthers in there. I think the Saints, and we do this for a living. We try to find interesting angles on teams and try to give people something. Oh, maybe you haven't thought of this, or maybe you haven't thought of it this way. It comes to the Saints, I'm like, good luck. It's like I'm tapped out. I got nothing for you. I just don't see how this is going to get better. And who is the coach that they are going to hire?
Yeah.
Who's going to take this roster or anything close to this and turn it into a contender? How?
Can I try to defend the Saints in this?
Sure. Go ahead.
They had, of these teams, they're the only team that has a front office that has been able to put together a talented roster of young players that have done anything.
How long ago was that?
We could say it was very long ago, but I mean, they were also in the playoffs not that long ago. Yes, they didn't have a quarterback, so that's why they were not a threat. But, you know, they did have a good defense, and that's why essentially they got there. They still had Alvin Kamara. Like, I think that'd be the hope, is that, okay, this team, we all kind of want to say is all Drew Brees, but, like, they were a talented team on both sides of the ball. So I've seen Loomis and that crew do it before. It's been a little while. I've never seen the Jets, the Raiders, I've never seen these iterations of these front offices do it. So to me, it's like that would be the thing I hang on to say, well, they have experience at least.
There's a little muscle memory.
Yeah, and I don't, those other organizations don't have anything to lean on.
There's just nothing about them. Like even there's no negative conversations. Like in Jacksonville, there's at least a Trevor Lawrence debate. There's been what should we do with Doug Peterson. Tennessee, we've had Will Levis jokes. Like the Saints almost exist in obscurity right now, which I think to Maggie's point, like that makes it worse that no one, you're not even part of the conversation.
Yeah. I mean, listen, the last time they made the playoffs was when they won the division. So they won the division for 4 years in a row from 2017 to 2020. Is that four? Yeah.
Yeah.
2017 to 2020, never got past lost the conference championship game, obviously famously to the Rams. But I guess if you're just going off of that, then the Jets really have to win this poll of who's got the worst organization, because they haven't made the playoffs since 2010.
Yeah, but this is more about like right now. So you still keep the Jets in there.
Yeah.
Like the four-P, it just doesn't matter now for the Saints. It's just not a thing.
What's the reverse of a Mount Rushmore? Because that's essentially what we're going for here. If the Mount Rushmore is the best four best of something, is there a monument that's just kind of like garbage?
Do you just stand on four teams while you look at Mount Rushmore?
I don't even know what this would be. Just hit it in reverse? Something. 855-212-4227. Who's the team with the worst outlook in the NFL? We have another poll question up there for you. What is the best coach-quarterback combination in the NFC? So obviously the Packers are the big winners last night over the Saints. Right now, the winner is Jared Goff and Dan Campbell at 46%. Matthew Stafford and McVay, 30%. Jordan Love, Matt LaFleur at 20%. And at 4%, Jalen Hurts, Nick Sirianni.
At least you got a chance. Late rally in Philadelphia.
Pearl up early, clearly.
Yes. Has he put out his own rival poll from his bed? Matt's in North Carolina. Matt, good morning. How are you?
Hey, guys. Good morning. You put the Panthers in among the worst situations. I understand Tepper, you know, it's not great. It hasn't been great. He is changing his stripes, I believe. We haven't heard anything from him this whole season. He's allowing his football guys to do their job, put Dan Morgan in place, who is a very well-respected former player here, linebacker, and has been around the league as a front office guy. He's done a great job this past draft, and Canales, you know, has worked his magic again with Bryce. It didn't look good to start the year, but Bryce, I know nationally they're not watching him a lot, but over the last 6 or 7 weeks, he's been among the best quarterbacks in the league. He has had high popping numbers, but if you look at the advanced stats, as you mentioned, you know, his PFF numbers, he has been really, really good. Was the top rated PFF quarterback this last week. So Bryce has turned the corner. This team needs a lot of work on defense, but offensively, they have a great offensive line. Chuba Hubbard running all over everybody.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of good
Matt, I get it. Listen, we've been talking about Bryce Young. This is an amazing turnaround for him from getting benched, which now is being touted as maybe the best thing that could have happened to him. And thank you for the phone call. Andy Dalton, remember, was the starter. He gets into a car accident, thankfully is okay, and then they go back to Bryce, and Bryce has kept the job. So to be fair, you know, he has really turned a corner, and this is a weak quarterback draft class, so Bryce is going to keep his job. He's going to get another chance. He's looked better. He doesn't look like one of the best quarterbacks in the league to me, but he does look a lot better. It feels like something to build on.
He's been really good. I mean, I keep defending him. I know he's talking about they did a decent job in draft. I just look at their roster. Like, it still feels like they have not found a receiver.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Adam Thielen, their leading receiver, with like 400 yards. Like, you have no receivers. And there's a little dirty secret about running backs that I think we need to also remember. Chuba Hubbard's 25 years old, and he's pounding on all these carries on a team that has 11 losses. Like, when you're finally good, is he still going to be in his prime? This is not a young guy. This is a guy who had a lot of carries at Oklahoma State.
No, I get it. But, EJ, if you're asking me if the two biggest things I need to fix, and I know these aren't the biggest. They've got issues on defense, too. But if two of the bigger things I have to fix about my team are wide receiver and running back, a competent front office, a halfway competent front office, to me, those are the two easiest things to fix. Quarterback, offensive line, defensive line, like those to me seem a little bit more. Wide receivers are the draft is chock full of guys. You can get them in every round. Same with running back.
I get it. It just feels like this is a team that hasn't been able to figure those things out. And then I would say the quarterback is still, you know, TBD, which is in a better position than they were like 3 months ago, where it seemed like it was over. But from a number one pick, you probably want to feel a little better than how they feel.
And I don't think any of us share Matt's confidence in David Tepper learning to not be David Tepper.
I totally agree with that.
He's changed his stripes. I was like, maybe. He has been quieter this year, but it couldn't have gotten more embarrassing than last season. Looking at overthecap.com, it has some NFL numbers for you. It looks like Derek Carr's cap hit next year, $51 million. That's a lot. 855-212-4227. We're asking you, what is the worst situation in the NFL? Who's got it? Saints last night get closed out and shut out on Monday Night Football by the Packers, 34-0. Is it the Carolina Panthers? Is it the Raiders? Is it the Jets?
Is it the Giants? Yay.
Could be the Giants.
Ugh.
If you miss on this quarterback, it definitely will be the Giants.
You mean when they miss on the quarterback? When they take the wrong guy, number one?
Coming up, we got a lot more college football for you as we are getting into the quarterfinals of the college football playoff. It's Maggie and Perloff with Bogish in for Pearl today. Fa-la-la-la-la. Welcome. Merry Christmas, everybody. Christmas Eve. So glad to have you. Andrew Bogish is sitting in for Perloff today. We'll get back to college football in just a moment, but we're asking you, which NFL team has the worst outlook? Who's got the worst situation? Who gets the coal in the stocking this year? Jerry's in South Carolina. He's got a thought. Hey, Jer.
Hey, how's it going? Meg, happy holidays, y'all.
You too. What's on your mind?
Yes, yes. Y'all talking about teams with the worst situation. The Giants should be at the top of the list. They don't have a quarterback in the let Saquon go and keep Jones. And they let him go to a division rival. That was just terrible there. They should have somehow or another kept Saquon there with the Giants and maybe somehow draft a quarterback in this year's draft. But, yeah, I think the Giants with no outlook, no quarterback to start with, no direction there. So let Saquon go. That was like the start of a disaster there.
Jerry, the start, the continuation.
Yeah. Thanks for calling, Jerry. Really appreciate this walk down memory lane of bad the Giants have been for a decade.
For the Giants fans, Jerry, that one was particularly painful, but you're not wrong. I think the only reason why the Giants, in all their futility, and Hard Knocks totally laid it bare about how little confidence you should have in
which
this front office.
Which I loved, by the way.
At least right now, they've got the inside track on the number one overall pick.
Yeah, but then it's a draft with two quarterbacks, but how good actually are they? And I just think, because of the way the last decade has gone, whomever they pick is going to be the wrong guy to pick.
Well, let's be fair about it. You know, you had the most under-the-radar, like, low-key quarterback imaginable in Daniel Jones. I don't care how much they try to tell us behind the scenes. Like, oh, no, he's, like, the leader guy. He was this—it was not lead by rah-rah, that's for sure. And I don't think the example was that great either. So I don't exactly know what the leadership was. I guess he's tough. We'll give him that. He's a tough guy who played through injuries. But Shedeur Sanders would be the total opposite. You come in with Shedeur Sanders, and then let's talk about this. Malik Nabers from LSU, who clearly has a good personality and is outspoken guy. Kayvon Thibodeau, who was like bred in a lab to be a franchise defensive lineman, had this thing all figured out, growing up in LA, going to Oregon, knew about being a brand, talked about it openly. You've got this young kind of cool nucleus if it's Shedeur, Malik Nabers, and Kayvon Thibodeau.
I'd throw Brian Burns in there, too. He's not an old man.
No, that's kind of fun. Yeah, Spider-Man. There's a possibility with Brian Daboll, who, by the way, is also no shrinking violet, that the Giants could have a real makeover and could become one of the, not just, I don't know how football-wise you have a long way to go, but they could become one of the more interesting, fun, young, up-and-coming teams in a hurry.
They could. They absolutely could. We have seen time and again how just getting the quarterback decision right changes everything.
Yeah, the Bengals were not cool, and then Joe Burrow / Batman came along, and all of a sudden the Bengals, you know, not since our guy Boomer Esiason was there.
Yeah, I mean, and the Commanders. I don't know how good the Commanders are without Jaden Daniels. It's not just him, but it's mostly him. Like, he changes everything. It's even... The Vikings shared their locker room video after their win on Sunday, and Kevin O'Connell gave Sam Darnold a game ball for the game-winning touchdown, and I forget what the nugget was. It's like 12 straight games with 100-plus QB rating or the most games in franchise history, and the whole place went nuts when Sam got the ball. Like, it just, when you've got a guy playing that position well, everybody loves him, everybody's happier, everybody's better. So if they pick Shedeur Sanders or Cam Ward and they're good, they'll be instantly better and more interesting. But it's been so long.
Yeah, you're beaten down.
And they've broken us that it's just hard to be optimistic.
855-212-4227. We're also asking you a question about who's the best quarterback QB combination in the NFC. So from the bottom of the barrel to the top of the mountain. We've got both on deck for you. Who is the best coach quarterback combination in the NFC? I went with Matt LaFleur and Jordan Love off of a massive win yesterday. And Bogus, you still like Dan Campbell and Jared Goff.
Yeah, because America likes them. This poll has confirmed my suspicions. I appreciate having the company of most of America on this.
I can't wait until Dan Campbell makes another decision that I would most likely defend in the playoffs, and everyone else is going to skewer him. Because I defended him after the NFC Championship game.
So here's my pre-defense. I just want to remind everybody, as we move into whatever coach makes a decision, right? When you hear about analytics and percentage or whatever, like, nothing is going to be 100%. Every decision has a percentage of failure. So one failure does not mean that the decision was the wrong one. The decision is the decision by itself, the decision to go for it on 4th-and-3 or kick the field goal or not kick the field goal. The decision is what you judge. The result can't change. So even if you're saying, okay, well, this is going to work 55% of the time, it's not going to work 4.5 times out of 10. So he might make a choice that doesn't work. It doesn't mean he's dumb or he was wrong to begin with.
Listen, I'm a process over results person. I get that.
You shouldn't. That should be everybody's thought. That should just be the way we go about things.
I don't think hard numbers. I don't think that's the way people were talking about Dan Campbell after they blew the NFC Championship game in San Francisco, though.
Remember how angry Pete was?
Yeah, Pete Bilotti, now working overnights with Amy Lawrence as the executive producer. Pete was not happy with Dan Campbell, but he wasn't the only one. 855-212-4227. Okay, quickly, let's go to Mike, is in Nevada. Wants to defend the Raiders that they are not the team with the worst situation in the NFL. Hey, Mike.
Hey, Maggie. Hi, Bogish. Hi, everybody else. We're doing good. We got a lot of cap space next year. I think it's like 100 or 130 million.
Mm-hmm.
We're like one of the best in cap space. We're going to have, we have the Jets second round or third round. I mean, so we have four picks in the top three, and it should be good numbers. You know, this team beat Kansas City last year in KC. We beat Baltimore in Baltimore at the beginning of the year. And we should have beat Kansas City again this year in Kansas City if our coach would have kicked the field goal on third down.
I know, but see, Mike, here's the thing, though, Mike, and hey, happy holidays to you, and thanks for checking in. Good to hear from you. You know, listen, you play a division rival tough and lose, can't exactly give too much credit for that. A little, okay, but I don't go for style points on division games. You're just trying to escape them a lot of times because you know each other so well. Can't go back to last year. That doesn't mean a whole lot to me now, beating the Chiefs last year. And the Raiders pulled the all-time bonehead move. You got to commit to the tank. If you don't have a quarterback and you are picking in the top two, you have to have your coach on board that you got to lose these games. And I know people hate that and sports purists hate that. Listen, you're not going to hate it. The Houston Texans, who I know it ended up working out for them, they didn't get the number one pick. They got the number two pick, and now they have C.J. Stroud. But if you're the Raiders, you won a game and went from 2-6. It's just unforgivable.
Again, to go back to the Giants, connect the dots from Tommy DeVito to Jaden Daniels. Like the Giants didn't were not far from the number two pick, but they got all giddy because DeVito won a game late in the season, and it maybe set the franchise back another decade.
Imagine you had Jaden Daniels right now. How much better the outlook would be for the Giants?
This is what I want for Christmas. The ability for a coach, for Antonio Pierce, to get to the microphone on Sunday and go, my bad.
He's not going to do that.
Because you can't, I understand that when the game starts, you can't like actually throw the game. I've never asked for that. But Antonio Pierce doesn't need to be defiant on Sunday. And then again, yesterday being like, go talk to the GM, or I don't care about your draft stock. Like, it's okay to be like, I get it, guys. You know, I wish Ricky didn't pick off that pass, or I wish, like, you, like, just to eat it. It's okay. We get it. We get it. You don't have to stand up there all tough guy and be like, I just want to win games. Like, you don't.
Well,
it's okay to say that you lost. It's okay to lose sometimes.
No, he can't do that because he has no assurances that he's coming back next year. Brian Daboll looks like he's probably going to be back. So they can lose, and this will all be a footnote if they get Shedeur Sanders and he ends up being a thing. Antonio Pierce is not in that same situation. He does not look like he has a vote of confidence from the front office, from the ownership. Eddie is in North Carolina. Eddie, who's got the worst situation in the NFL?
I'm a Giant fan, and it's us. We own it. But I'll say this. I was listening to your comments before. I don't want Shedeur Sanders. He's a talented player, maybe the best player in the quarterback. I have flashbacks of Odell Beckham. When I, you know, think about his father and, you know, some of the antics that he put up. So we are in a tough place. We've mismanaged the draft before. Yes, franchises are built around a five-year rookie cheap quarterback. I'm a transplant. I'm down here in North Carolina. I'm seeing Bryce Young now mature and come into his own, and I think it's great for the franchise. Give me anybody else. I don't want Shedeur Sanders.
Interesting. Eddie, thank you for the phone call. Yeah, Shador's going to be extremely polarizing because if it was just the quarterback, then you'd say, all right, you just do the quarterback on his own merits and talents and you just evaluate him that way. But the Deion aspect of, you know, that Deion is going to be there, maybe not physically there. He's going to be in Colorado, but he's going to be asked about the Giants. He's going to have an opinion about the Giants. I don't think Deion's going to hold his tongue when it comes to his son because he never has.
Never has, never will. It's not as necessary. I'm not a Deion guy, so I think I skew more towards the negative. I also feel like the Giants as an organization don't want to sign up for this. It wouldn't fit kind of, especially at this position. It's one thing to have a diva wide receiver or a big mouth cornerback. Like, those things happen. But, like, Shedeur Sanders is also not walking in like Peyton Manning, who you think is going to be this legendary quarterback from the beginning. Like, he's going to be a work in progress. He's going to struggle. They're going to struggle. And their dad's going to be on WFAN or on a different radio station or on a podcast or on a show or just on social media. He's not going to not say things about a crappy offensive line or a wide receiver dropping a pass and making a son look bad. And they just don't need any other more. They don't need any more drama.
Yeah. I mean, listen, to be fair, we think that Archie Manning helped get Eli to New York. And after that, we really didn't hear from Archie.
Right.
So maybe there is a world, maybe we're not giving Deion enough credit, where he could stay away. Because Archie was definitely involved in the Eli Manning thing.
Right.
So, but I don't know. Deion, that's really not his way.
Which is why I'm listening to EJM Perloff tell me how Cam Ward is equal parts Jaden Daniels and Patrick Mahomes. Sign me up.
Manny is doing updates for us. He's running the board for us. He is hurt today.
Oh my
and
God!
Playing
get
hurt.
It, Maggie. It's not that
Thank
hard.
You, Maggie.
It's just reading numbers. I do it every day.
Thank you. I'm gonna shut his mic off. That's what I'm gonna do.
Manny has so much control over this radio show right now. It's a little frightening. Yeah, go for it, dude.
Watch your mouth, AB. This update, well, it's sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Protect your home and auto. Save when you bundle. Get a quote at progressive.com. Well, the NFL, they can flex games out of Monday Night Football, and it's unfortunate that this one was not.
Over. And he takes, hands it off to Wilson, burrowing his way up the middle to the end zone. Is he in? They're waiting. And now touchdown! Emmanuel Wilson to a Lambeau leap in the north end zone stands.
Packers Radio Network, that Emmanuel Wilson touchdown was the final blow to a shutout. The Packers, they beat the Saints 34-0. It's the first shutout in the NFL since the Bucs beat the Panthers 9-0. Oh, yeah. In a Week 18 game of last season, Packers head coach Matt LaFleur.
I was really proud of our guys tonight. We talked about playing a complete game for four quarters. I thought for the most part we did what we needed to do. Obviously, it's hard to shut out an opponent in this league, and from what I was told, it was the first one this season, so I was really proud of our defense.
That's right, Matt. The Packers, they improved to 11-4 this season and become the third team from the NFC North to clinch a playoff berth. Josh Jacobs, 69 yards, one touchdown. But the Packers, they did lose wide receiver Christian Watson. He picked up a knee injury in the second quarter, came back after the half and played four snaps, but he did not return after that. More NFL news. After losing Tank Dell to a torn ACL and a dislocated kneecap, the Texans have claimed wide receiver Deontay Johnson. Johnson was put on waivers by the Ravens on Friday. And with the team officially eliminated from playoff contention, 49ers head coach Kyle Shanahan says left tackle Trent Williams will miss the final two games of the season. To college, Georgia quarterback Carson Beck, he underwent successful right elbow surgery. He will be ready to throw in the spring. Former Purdue tight end Max Clair, the top portal transfer at his position, he has committed to Ohio State. Clair made 51 catches for 685 yards and four touchdowns. He will have 2 years of eligibility left. Good news for Andrew Bogish. No umpire strike in baseball. The Umpires Association and the league, they have agreed on a 5-year CBA. The old agreement expired already after this season. The league is likely to move forward with its plan to implement automated balls and strike system during spring training games next year. 38-year-old Andrew McCutchen, well, he's headed back to where he belongs, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. He and the Pirates agree on a 1-year deal. NBA, the Thunder and Alex Caruso have agreed to a 4-year, $81 million extension, according to his agent. And 2 weeks after being fined $25,000, Wolves guard Anthony Edwards, he has been fined another $75,000, this time for public criticism of the officials and using profane language. Last night, Luka Doncic, he dropped 27 points in a Mavs win over the Blazers, 132-108. And the Lakers, they had a chance to get a win at home against the Pistons.
Reeves having some issues, gets it in. LeBron for the tie. No. Off the top of the backboard, the Pistons have swept the Los Angeles Lakers for the first time since 2016-17. Another thriller on this four-game road trip.
Pistons Radio Network, LeBron's three right at the horn. It misfires. The Pistons, they beat the Lakers 117-114. Cade Cunningham, 20 points, 10 rebounds in the win. LeBron, he finished with a 28-point triple-double. And finally on the ice, our San Jose Sharks, they fall to the Vancouver Canucks 4-3. Two assists for Macklin Celebrini in the loss.
Thank you, Manny, pulling double duty today, running our board, and also doing updates. Did you guys also see that apparently American Airlines has grounded flights nationwide this morning? So on Christmas Eve, last thing you want to see, major travel delays. There's a technical issue, and this is throughout the country. I saw it first on like an ABC Chicago had the story.
I think the ground, whatever they call it, the ground stop has been lifted. So you're probably still delays, but I think they are in the process of flying again. Good times.
Oh, man.
This is the worst day for that to happen. The actual worst day.
Thanksgiving Eve, probably a close second.
Those are one and two. That's Jordan LeBron in this draft of the worst ever.
I can't even think of another one. Oh, you're telling me that they're back up.
Well, they're allowed to take off. I don't know how many are, but they're allowed to fly again.
Listen, it's just the worst when they're like, it's a technical issue. You know what? Don't even tell me. Like, you're powerless anyway. You're about to get on a flight.
Yeah.
Technical issue? What, am I going to go out there with a wrench and a hammer and try to figure out what's going on?
Some duct tape.
Remember last time when we were in Super Bowl, remember me and Perloff got stuck with the president was in town. Or maybe it was Kamala, actually. I don't know. Somebody was in Vegas. I think it was Biden.
And yeah.
You got out maybe like 3 hours before us. Me and Perloff were delayed by like 2 hours because everything shut down in Las Vegas airport.
Oh my gosh. This goes across the parties. Like, this is one thing we can all agree on in these divided times. Please, politicians, stop traveling during rush hours. Stop traveling during holidays, Super Bowl. Like, keep it low.
That was crazy that the president was there on a Super Bowl weekend. And it wasn't Super Bowl related. It was like I'm meeting with the party executives in Nevada. I was like, this of all times, this is the weekend you're going to choose from? This is the weekend? Everyone's trying to get in. Everyone's trying to get out.
Horrible. Read the room. This is why I wanted to start my side hustle of being a sports consultant for politicians. This is how I'm really going to make it big, but it'll be all behind the scenes, behind the mic. So if someone shows me the president's schedule and say, hey, it's a Super Bowl. That's Super Bowl weekend. You might want to switch that.
I feel like also newsrooms also need sports consultants too because they have massive issues as someone who worked in a newsroom.
I know. Nobody knows Jack. How?
Anyway. I've seen some of the most talented news anchors I've ever seen, some of the best in New York City. They could pronounce any name from an Eastern European king to a terrorist in a foreign city, foreign town. They got it easy. You give them a hockey name, and it's like their heads are going to combust.
I saw a clip just yesterday. Now it's old because it was Alex Trebek as the Jeopardy host, but the category was just basically football 101. It was the last category left on the board, not by accident, and. It was only the clip was only the length of the first three questions, and they were basically like, "What color is a football? Do you pass or run?" And each time, no one rang in.
Yeah,
they didn't even try to get it wrong. They just all stood there with doofy silence. But again, you asked them about like 16th century Romanian poets named Todd, and they know all of them.
Yeah. See, I never want to clown those people on Jeopardy who don't know the answer because as soon as the Shakespeare category comes up, I'm just like, and I'm useless.
But they train for that. That's why they know Shakespeare. They don't just generally have knowledge, but it's like they don't read a sports book.
Yeah, but what are they going to go back to 1968 and read every Sports Illustrated from there?
But also, they're not asking, like, where is William Shakespeare from? Like, they're not asking the most basic Shakespeare question. It's something somewhat advanced with, what's the name? It's like, what's the shape of a football?
Yeah.
They're like, a square?
What did William Shakespeare eat before his final meal?
They will have the answer to that.
Yeah.
855-212-4227. All right, keep your nominations, I guess, coming for which NFL team is the worst situation in the entire league. We also get to college football next. Welcome back and a Merry Christmas Eve to everyone. It's Maggie and Andrew Bogish sitting in for Andrew Perloff today on the Maggie and Perloff Show. Now, yesterday we knew that our pal, Andrew Perloff, scored some courtside Knicks tickets when they were hosting the Raptors last night at Madison Square Garden. But to be fair to Perloff, he kind of has this cool connection, so him sitting courtside is not really big news, right? Like, we've seen this before. But then all of a sudden, some social media posts start popping up from our pal, and it looks like he came away with some ridiculous swag. And so now we turn to our friend Andrew Perloff, who is not even, is on his day off and is still calling into the show to tell us what happened. Pearl, Merry Christmas.
Yeah, Merry Christmas, guys. We're en route to Boston to celebrate the holiday. Yeah, it was a pretty amazing night. Long story short, and I'm not even going to make up anything about it. So we get to the Garden, and somebody is sitting in our courtside seats next to Mr. Dolan. Literally right next to him. And I don't know how, there was some confusion about the seats. So, you know, I'm already a little sensitive about sitting next to the owner. So, Maggie, if you were me, would you make a big deal about it?
I'd probably talk to an usher or something and say, I think there's been a mix-up.
Well, okay, in this area of the court, there are not ushers. There are security guards who are former SS agents. Basically, a guy pulled out a gun with a silencer and was about to take out the guy sitting next to the owner who wasn't supposed to be there.
Oh, my goodness.
So they had us sit there. Literally, we were standing there for 2.5 minutes of game action. They removed the guy and put us in our seats, and they said, we are so sorry. Who's your favorite player on the Knicks? Did not know what that question meant. Had no idea how to answer.
You're like, Patrick Ewing.
Yeah. Well, I basically panicked. I was like, am I going to meet my favorite player on the Knicks? So my brain immediately goes, well, at least I can claim a Villanova connection. So who do you, I shout out Mikal Bridges. I should have said Brunson, but I said Mikal Bridges. It just popped in my mind. He's from Philly. So that was my choice. And then I'm like, oh, my God, he's going to take me to meet Mikal Bridges. He's like 8 feet away from where I'm sitting. But they said, all right, at halftime, we're giving you a signed ball for Mikal Bridges. And it was only 2.5 minutes, so I have to give a huge shout-out to the professionalism of the front row of the Knicks.
Pearl, this is an unreal story, but I've got a question for you. So who were the people who were sitting in the seats? Were they actually just, like, crashing the front row?
No, I think there was a little confusion about – I have no idea how they got there. They weren't, like, some like two teenagers from Staten Island who snuck down and somehow – like, we're pretending to be there. This is very, there's like three layers of security. But I will tell you, these were the good seats. And EJ knows this, like the free sushi and lobster before, it was those seats. So you can't really just sort of sneak down there.
Wow. And so you went with your daughter, Lucy. Manny gets the stiff arm this time. And we'll talk
Manny,
about that when you get back.
I promise.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, actually, these, there are other seats that are close. It's stressful to sit next to the owner. Like, I was cheering for the Knicks with all my heart last night because I was like, after like getting the free basketball, it didn't matter. I'm like, I am not going to be that guy sitting next to the owner who's like, so every cat dunk, every OG Anunoby rebound, I was like, let's go Knicks. I'm sorry. I was just totally sold out.
Oh, my gosh. Just a seat next to the owner and a signed basketball, and that's enough. Although, Perloff, to be fair to you, you've jumped on bandwagons for less.
Oh, well, this is a rival. But wait, what am I supposed to do? Stephon Marbury is literally 6 feet away from me screaming and jumping on the court. Am I supposed to be like, go Raptors? Go Grady Dick? I would have looked like a crazy man.
I had the same problem at the Islander game a couple weekends ago.
I know.
I hate the Islanders.
Hanging out with the ownership, and now you got to put on a brave face. Well, awesome.
But Bogus, you always call me out for being a bandwagon jumper, but you know the pressure, so you bandwagon jump. It's the easiest thing to do. You have to do it, right?
I was sitting in his seats literally behind the glass, and I hadn't seen him all night. The Islanders score right in our face, and the next thing I know, he's got his hand out for a high five. Am I supposed to punch him? So I high-fived him, and then I got back upstairs to the suite, and all my Ranger fan friends were like, you're a traitor. You can't come back in here.
Tough spot you guys are in with all these fun, bougie activities that you get to do. But Perloff, we only have, we're up against it here. We only have a couple seconds.
Yeah.
Which one of the lucky Knicks fans who you work with, are you going to gift the basketball to them, or are you going to keep the Mikal Bridges basketball?
Oh, there's no way anyone's touching that basketball. I'm going to hang it in the studio. And, yeah, definitely. And by the way, the person sitting next to me at the end of the game goes, I noticed you didn't bring Maggie. I'm not making that up.
No.
Yeah. The guy didn't talk to me all game. And then I was like, he doesn't even recognize I'm here. Some other guy. He's like, I noticed you didn't bring Maggie. Wink.
Oh, my goodness. Well, Merry Christmas to the family, to you guys. Thanks for calling in. Drive safe to Boston. Okay. Oh, my goodness.